all of you out there in Radioland. You're listening to KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 FM. For our virtual listeners, we hope your device stays locked onto our website, kptz.org. I'm Marianne McNellis, and this show is called Our Town. The show highlights some of the diverse personalities that make Jefferson County, Washington, so very special. Our Town profiles people from all walks of life, from firefighters to foodies, bus drivers to baristas, and even the lawyers and the ladies who lunch. Despite the profound changes of the pandemic, on the surface, it seems like life goes on in Port Townsend pretty much the way it always has. Jefferson County still teems with deer, otter, and even magnificent soaring eagles. But what's really happening here? The pandemic rages on. Vaccination wars are literally dividing families and friends. Grandparents are denied visits to their grandchildren, depending on their vaccination status. Friends of decades are suddenly off limits because they're on the other side of the issue. How did this somehow become a political issue? What should be a medical issue really isn't anymore. It's a sorry situation. It's also very isolating. Video chats with our doctors and even with our families don't really fill all the gaps. In an odd way, a show like Our Town can help. You probably aren't meeting very many people new during the COVID era. In fact, many of us are meeting zero new people, much less visiting with old friends. Even before the pandemic hit, this show, Our Town, had a mission. That mission is to introduce our listeners to some of the fascinating people who make up the fabric of this community. Listening to Our Town lets you meet some vibrant, complex characters who help give this community its unique personality. Our Town is a window on the people of Jefferson County, Washington. My guest today is someone you may have heard of, but probably very few of you know him personally. My guest today is David Faber, who's the new mayor of Port Townsend, taking over just this January for a 2-year term. We're going to talk about his role as mayor in a bit, but first, let's get to know him a little bit. So welcome to the show, David.
Thanks, Mary.
I always start the show in the same way. Are you a local boy born and bred in Port Townsend or the Olympic Peninsula?
Not quite. I was born down in Kitsap County, but I was raised here in Port Townsend.
So did you go to school here?
I did.
So what did your folks do?
Well, my mother was a homemaker when I was a child. She had been a teacher before, and then after I think I was about 10 years old, she went back to teaching as well. My father was down in Kitsap County at the time, and he was a doctor.
Okay. And are you an only child?
I am not. I am one of sort of 3 or 6, depending on how you count.
A blended family, I take it?
Yes, a blended family.
Okay, and where do you fall in the lineup?
I am the baby.
The baby?
I'm the baby, yeah.
Well, that's always an interesting position. A lot of the battles have already been fought and determined, and so you get to either reap the benefits or the...
I reaped the benefits of that arrangement, yeah.
Well, that's good. Okay, so you went to school here in Port Townsend. Which ones?
Well, I went to Grant Street Elementary, went to the school in the portables that were still there, even though they were supposed to be temporary. They're still there until the school was torn down. And then I went to, what was it, Mountain View, where we're recording right now, actually also in a portable right next door to this one. And then I went to Blue Heron when it was first opened. I was in the class that led that school off. And then I didn't go to the public high school here. I ended up going to Cedarbrook, which is a local, was at the time, a Seventh-day Adventist school where my mother was a teacher, and then on to the ICE program after 1 year at Cedarbrook, which ICE program is still around, a local alternative school program through the public school district.
So what does ICE stand for in that context? A lot of people today think ICE has to do with immigration.
It stands for, I believe it's Individual Curricular Education.
But I would imagine you saw other kids as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We still had classes, but it was a little bit less structured. It was sort of like a blend between homeschooling and the public school system.
Okay. And I'm always curious about sort of the teen years. What did your peers think of you? What do you think? Not what you thought of you, but what did your peers think of you?
Early teen years, I was definitely a nerd, an indoor kid. Played a lot of video games and Dungeons and Dragons. And then I sort of developed more social personality right around probably 15 or so. Started playing music, and I at least found a social space for me to operate in that was not quite as ostracized.
Okay. And in your family view, were you expected to go to university?
Not quite expected, but it was encouraged, but you know, I didn't go straight away to university after high school.
What did you do?
Kicked around Port Townsend, worked at Domino's delivering pizza here when it was around, and then played a lot of music. I just hung out with friends mostly for about 2 years.
And then what?
Well, I was playing music at the time. One of my good friends, he had gone down to Evergreen and was in doing a music engineering program and needed someone to come in and record some music for him. So I went down to Olympia and met up with him and ended up recording some music there and really enjoyed the experience and the space and realized that there was something I could potentially do that I was really interested in at university. And then the stars aligned, and my now wife, then girlfriend, was going to start school at Evergreen that fall anyway. And so it was a perfect time for me to just follow her and...
The stars aligned.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so did you study music?
Initially for just a little while, and then I quickly switched into studying political economy, sociology, international relations, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. And what did you end up getting a degree in?
I call it a degree in international political economy, which is political science / international relations is probably the easier way to describe it.
Okay. And yeah. So what did you think that would prepare you for job-wise?
My senior year at Evergreen, I ran for and served on the first student government there. And I was sort of thinking along the lines of policy development, policy work, politically interested at the time. Ended up working in the legislature as an intern. I thought I would do political work in some way, shape, or form.
Okay. And indeed, is that what you ended up doing?
Partially. Okay. I worked in the legislature, and then that was towards the summer of 2007. I graduated from college, and then I started doing some field organizing for some campaigns here in Washington. But I moved back to Port Townsend, and I was working also at the time, because the field organizing was like a half-time job. I was working at Sirens here, cooking in the kitchen. And I kept doing that for a while and realized pretty quickly that I didn't really like that aspect of the work. My political interest was much more in the policy side and less in going door to door and trying to convince people to vote for someone.
Yeah, I can understand that. That sort of cold call, I think, would be difficult for a lot of people.
Yeah, that is not my strong suit.
Yes. All right. And so you realized that. And so what did you decide to do to change?
Yeah, so I went for a second year back for the second session in a row down in Olympia, 2008, and quickly decided I was going to start, I was going to look at going to law school, because a lot of the people around me doing the work that I wanted to do, or so I thought I wanted to do, were, they were lawyers and so forth. So I started looking at doing that and the LSAT. And over the course of the next year and change, ended up applying for and getting into Seattle University School of Law. So it started in fall of 2009.
Okay. And that's typically a 3-year program?
Correct, yeah.
And then the bar.
And then the bar.
Now, I understand that a lot of people don't make it through the bar the first time through.
The bar exam, at least when the form that I took, we were the last class to take the old style, almost all essays. The bar would intentionally fail 1/3 of everyone who took it, no matter what people's scores were. They would grade on a curve. And 1/3 of the people who went all the way through law school and, you know, paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to go to law school would find unceremoniously they had been denied a legal license. Yeah.
Wow. But you can retake it, right?
Yeah, people can retake it as many times as they want. Thankfully, I didn't have to. I passed on the first try.
Congratulations.
But I had a lot of very smart friends who failed probably because they just weren't quite as good at taking tests.
Wow.
It's just an elaborate hazing ritual.
Yeah, that's terrible. I mean, 1/3, that's really pretty crummy, in my opinion.
It's a bit scandalous.
Is it still done that way?
I'm not 100% certain. I believe yes. It's the testing style has changed dramatically, though.
Well, that's quite amazing. And I suppose they don't forgive your student loans just because you didn't pass.
Certainly not.
Ooh, that's bad. That's really bad. All right. So there you were now with a law degree. And did you join a law firm?
So I was, at that point in time, I had gotten into doing some really interesting policy work. Interesting to me, I should say. Working for an organization called Landesa in Seattle, doing... it's called land tenure work and policy-related work in developing countries like India, and there's some work in South Africa and various places throughout sub-Saharan Africa and China and other places.
I've got a feeling some of our listeners won't know the term land tenure. So can you explain?
Yeah, so it's basically looking at trying to institute legal change at the request of the government that we're, you know, we would be invited in by, say, Namibia to look at their legal regime around land ownership, inheritance rights, and so forth, and try and improve the structure to guarantee smallhold farms could maintain ownership of their land, and they could pass it down to their family, and they could... receive the benefit of investing in their own property and so forth. So the idea was when a bunch of small landholding farmers could reap the benefits of their own labor on their land, if smallhold farmers can reap the benefits of their labor, they can, you know, build up society. They'll do better for themselves, they'll do better for their families. They'll make more money and be able to improve the overall economic standing of their country.
Okay.
And sort of become less exploited.
Did you end up working full-time for Landesa?
I did not. So I was working with them in law school. Then they sent me, or they suggested I go off to do what was called an LLM program, which is a legal master's degree in research. Through the University of Washington, studying under the guy who founded Landesa, Roy Prosterman. And I went and did that program. I continued working at Landesa. And then they lost two major grants right when I was graduating. I think it was literally the week I graduated.
Bad timing.
Very bad timing. And as a result, I was sort of last in, first out, along with about a third, maybe even a half of their staff.
Wow.
And they're still going strong now. They've recovered since then, but it was very clear that I didn't have
that wasn't going to work.
Right.
So what next?
Well, a friend of mine ended up losing out on a job opportunity to work for the Yakima Nation, the tribe in Yakima, and they needed an attorney very quickly, and he gave them my name.
You just happened to be available.
I happen to be available. Yeah, the stars aligned again. They needed an attorney quickly, and they offered me a job, and I had to scramble to move out to Yakima part-time because my wife was still in Seattle working as a nanny, and we weren't yet sure how things were going to shake out. So she stayed in Seattle. I moved to Yakima, kept on coming over the pass every weekend to see her and so forth. It was a lot of commuting.
Yeah, it sounds like it. How long a trip is that usually?
It's about, if I remember correctly, about 2.5 to 3 hours each way.
But there are a few little mountains.
Oh, yeah, just little guys.
Yeah. this time of year might not be real friendly to do that.
And it was this time of year when I was doing it. It was the most snow driving I've ever done in my life by far, before or since.
Probably just as well. So how long did you stay?
So I was there on a 6-month contract, and I discovered after about 2 months, I started to realize, I shouldn't say discovered, I started to realize that I was getting pretty depressed in my, my life at the time. I mean, my life was basically leave my wife on the weekend, or after the weekend, go and, work in a place where I enjoyed the job itself, but I had no friends. My social life was basically non-existent. I didn't have time to have a social life. And yeah, I was not enjoying myself very much at all. And so I started looking at opening a law practice here in Port Townsend with a buddy of mine from law school who also had connections here in Port Townsend.
Huh. That's sort of unusual. So you just sort of decided I'm going to start a law firm.
Yeah, I kind of came to the conclusion that I don't like, I like being my own boss, I think. I realized that if I was going to keep on, I wanted to live more on my own terms and missed Port Townsend desperately. My wife, who's from here as well, her parents were here and...
So you're both from Port Townsend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're both from
here. Did you actually meet her in grammar school or anything like that?
Met her in high school.
In high school, mm-hmm. Okay.
Hmm. Yeah, through the ICE program.
All right.
Actually, orientation, my very first day in the ICE program, I met her.
Okay.
In the copy room at Grant Street.
How romantic.
Yes, it's a very romantic spot.
Yes, I'm sure it is, yes. Okay, so you and your buddy decide to open this law firm,
mm-hmm.
and did you do any research?
We did. So probably right around December, near Christmas time, we took a trip out here, made arrangements to meet with, I think, three local attorneys that trip and sat down with them. And everyone just gave us green lights, go, go, go. There's so much legal work here. There's need for more attorneys in the community. And then we came back again in January to make certain that was the case and met with a few more attorneys. And most people were very welcoming and said the bar was very collegiate and
okay. Mm-hmm. And so when did you actually hang out your shingle, so to speak?
Well, I quit my job in Yakima the last week of February and moved across the pass and then got to town on February, I think it was the 24th, and sort of started setting up the office. It took about a month to really get everything put together.
What year?
So April 1st of 2014.
2014. Yeah. April Fool's Day. I see. Okay. You're listening to Our Town on KPTZ Port Townsend. This is Mary Ann McNellis. I'm talking to our new mayor, David Faber, and he's just telling me how he and his partner opened a law firm here in 2014. And what was the intention? What sort of cases did you think you would take?
So when we were talking to the local bar about what need there was in the community, there was a lot of discussion about needing more family law, like divorces, child custody, that kind of work. So that's what I thought I'd end up doing.
Mm-hmm.
I quickly discovered I didn't really like doing that kind of work because I felt like I was being wielded as a weapon to basically hurt another party. And sometimes there's good reason for, I mean, frequently there's good reason for people being upset in family law, but it was just such a aggressive and a lot of, conflict-oriented area of practice.
Yeah, can be quite acrimonious.
Mm-hmm. Acrimonious, that's the word I couldn't grab. Thank you.
Okay, so you don't do those sort of cases. What do you do?
No, so I transitioned, I found that the best part of my practice was whenever I would have a client come in and wanted me to work with them on a will or powers of attorney or trusts and that sort of thing. Really enjoyed that interpersonal connection with clients. And though I like to say we're all vultures of human suffering in the legal world, but it just felt a little bit less aggressive.
A lot of lawyers wouldn't like to say that out loud.
Well, I say that tongue in cheek, and it's like self-deprecating. I do think that the lawyers provide a valuable service to their clients.
Right.
It's just we wouldn't exist if it weren't for their being suffering.
True. Okay, so you opened your firm in 2014. By 2015, you were already on city council. That's pretty quick. What happened?
Well, I ran for city council in 2015. My first day on the job was January of 2016.
Okay.
But I, as I mentioned before, I'd been cooking at Sirens back in, I started in at summer after the first year of college, so 2004. But I, knew Chris Nelson. She was first on the planning commission, and we chatted a lot when we would work shifts together at Sirens. about local politics. And then she got appointed to the city council. And we'd still talk a lot about politics, of course, when we would work shifts together. And then when I came back to town, she invited me to her birthday party in late 2014. And she told me in confidence then that she was pretty certain she was not going to seek re-election in 2015 and asked if I wanted to run for her seat.
Okay. And so you did.
Mm-hmm.
You obviously did a good job because pretty soon you got elected mayor. That's also pretty quick.
Well, it was 2 years of being a quote-unquote ordinary council person, and then I was asked to serve as deputy mayor starting in, 2018, and did that for 4 years, two terms as deputy mayor.
Okay. Now, I'm not sure all of our listeners understand how it works here, because we have both a city manager and a mayor and council. Can you just very quickly...
Sure. Yeah. So the council, the Port Townsend City Council has 7 council members. The mayor and deputy mayor are just titular heads. We are elected from within the body of 7. So currently there's 5 quote unquote ordinary council members and then a deputy mayor and a mayor. We're all still just council members, and the job is sort of like the chair of a board, not like the president of a company or something like that.
Okay. And so what are some of the things a mayor typically does in Port Townsend?
Appears at events, serves, as I say, the lightning rod, the point of contact, communication from the community, sets agendas.
So if members of the community wanted to get in touch with you, what's the best way?
Yeah, they can email me my city email address, dfaber@cityofpt.us. And or they can give me a call, 360-821-9374. That's my personal cell phone. So please try not to blow me up too badly. And preferably no texting about city business, because the Public Records Act makes that a bit of a deal.
Okay. All right. And so there are multiple issues in Port Townsend currently. One just was solved for the time being, the agreement for water with mm-hmm. the mill. So that's... done, but there are many other. What are the most pressing issues you see confronting the town?
Ooh, most pressing issue confronting the town. So, affordable housing is the obvious, glaring problem. You know, we have double-digit increase in housing prices every year, and largely stagnated wages, and it's hard for a lot of people who work in our major industries locally here to afford to continue living here.
It's true.
That's probably the number one issue. There's other things ranging from the deer to...
State of the roads.
State of the roads, yes.
That's my personal pet peeve.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's an ongoing issue that we're starting to get some, hopefully get some headway on.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And how long do you think it might be to, I guess you can never solve roads totally, but get some progress, let's put it that way.
Well, we're going to start seeing some progress this year. We have started levying funds from, this gets very esoteric, but from the fire district annexation, we have about a total eventually of about $1 million per year in tax revenue. And one of the major things we're dedicating new revenue to is repairing our local roads and transportation infrastructure.
Okay.
So it'll start this year. It's in the budget this year. It'll probably be a few years before we start seeing really substantial improvement. And it's an ongoing process. I mean, as you said, once you start repairing the roads, you have to keep doing it. Right.
Exactly. I don't know why it got stopped being done, because things have really deteriorated.
Well, it's a pot of money issue. And with Tim Eyman's $30 car tabs initiative, that really gutted transportation funding, including particularly the road repair.
Okay.
Budget.
Now, it's my understanding that the major roads that you can, like Water Street or Lawrence, you can get the state or even the federal government, there's a chance of grants, but not so for the neighborhoods.
And less Lawrence, but Water Street and Discovery and so forth. Yes, there's grant money available for more major thoroughfares. Basically, anything that's needed to move people into commerce centers is what the state likes to toss money at. They don't toss money at us for redoing Clay Street or Ivy or wherever there might be a road that is in need of some more repair on the, you know, the side streets.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, I've heard some radio stations have contests like who has the worst road.
Yeah.
I'm like, we don't do that here at KPTZ, but we are unfortunately seriously running out of time here. Mm-hmm. And if you had, 15, 30 seconds to sum up what you'd like to do during your term as mayor.
Yeah, so I would like to continue trying to work on getting the public involved in local government and building trust in our local institutions and encouraging public participation more than anything else. That's that iterative process of government.
Okay. Well, we are out of time. I'd like to just say for the record, you're just starting as mayor. You're barely got your feet wet. I'd like to invite you back in about a year to assess what you've been able to do and, you know, what the frustrations of the job are. I've been talking to David Faber, our new mayor in Port Townsend. Thank you, David. In addition to thanking David for being a guest, I want to thank our producer and editor, Sonny Flores. He will clean up our stumbles and mumbles and make us sound even better than we are. But of course, we're remarkable as
That's
we
right.
are. And thank you, listener, for sticking with us through the pandemic. We're all limping through this together. Port Townsend has a community radio station, us, KPTZ. It's by and for the people of Jefferson County. We give our time. We're all volunteers here, and we always want more volunteers, and we always want more donations to help us stay afloat. So just like you, we'd really like to return to some form of normal, and hopefully this pandemic will slow down and maybe disappear. So listener, stay safe, stay healthy. The show is called Our Town. I'm your host, Marianne McNellis. I'm signing off for today, but please keep listening to KPTZ, Port Townsend, 91.9 FM, for more dynamic, eclectic community radio.
Our Town is an original KPTZ production, created by Marianne McNellis and edited by Sonny Flores.